Hello and welcome to A Word for This Day podcast. I'm Jory Schaefer, the show's host and creator, and it is my joy and my pleasure to welcome you today. Welcome to anyone who has found us for the first time. I'm so glad you're here. Please don't run off quite yet. Please stick around for a little bit and let's see what the Lord has for us in His Word. And welcome back to you regular listeners. Thank you for coming back day after day. I have to tell you about a little bit of a technical issue that you may have noticed. I record my episodes ahead of time, usually 2 or 3 days, sometimes 4 days ahead of time, depending on if I'm going to know that I'm going to be out of town or out of pocket or whatnot. And I accidentally scheduled 2 episodes to be released on Monday the 15th. One was supposed to be the 15th episode, and then the 16th was supposed to come yesterday. But I woke up on Monday morning and do the things that I do and noticed that both had been released on Monday. And so I unpublished one. I unpublished that one for yesterday and then republished it yesterday morning. If you thought, well, I thought there were 2 new ones and you tried to listen to the 16th on Monday and you couldn't, that's why. It was all a mix up on my part. I'll try to do better next time. I just clicked the wrong date when I scheduled it. But that happens sometimes. I'm human. It should be live now and everything should be back to normal. And hopefully I'll get this one released on the right date. But I'm so thankful for you. Know that I continue to pray for all of you regularly. I continue to pray that the Lord would draw you closer to Him and give you more of a desire to know Him and His Word, and that you'll be intentional and very deliberate about scheduling time with Him. It's so important for us to do that, especially in this day and time when we're so busy and the devil uses that busyness and that distraction to try to get us to keep our hearts and our minds away from the Lord. But we must purpose in our hearts with His help and by the power of the Holy Spirit to make it a point to spend time with Him. And I pray that you will do that. Please know that I love to hear from you. I love to hear what God's doing in your life as you're spending more time with Him. And please consider sharing this podcast with your friends, family, neighbors, strangers, just anyone who you think may receive a blessing from it. Well, our verse for the day for April the 17th, 2024, comes from the letter of 1 John again. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, and it reads as follows from the English Standard Version. By this, love has been perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as He is, so also we are in this world. Oh, friends, we talked just a few days ago about His love being perfected in us when we were in 1 John 4:12. But we're going to dig into this a little more and talk about more of what the Apostle John was really hammering home here in these verses about abiding in God and He in us. And so I'm excited for us to think more about this today. It is just so important, and we see the need to abide in Him, and I'm thankful that He would love us so that He would abide in us. And so we'll park there as we go along this morning. But first, let's get that little bit of background about this letter in which we find ourselves today. We're back in 1 John, as I mentioned. This is one of the general letters. Remember, the New Testament begins with the 4 books of the Gospel, which tell us the good news of Jesus' earthly ministry. And then it moves to church history, which is that book of Acts. Then to Paul's letters, there's 13 of those written by the Apostle Paul. Then to the general letters written by men who are not Paul, there's 8 of those. And then to that book of Revelation, which is that book of New Testament prophecy. That's how the New Testament is set up. Now, the Gospel writer John is the one who wrote this letter. And he wrote 3 letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. They're called the Epistles of John or the Johannine epistles. He also wrote that Gospel of John and the Book of Revelation. So five of the works that we have in the New Testament were written by him. Now, there's nowhere that he says, I, John, wrote these, but there are clues throughout that help us to know. And the earliest church historians who would have received these letters directly confirm that he, in fact, is that John who wrote these. He is not the John the Baptist, as we've talked about before, that we'll read about in the Gospels. He's a different John. He and his brother James were fishermen with their father Zebedee, and they were called by the Lord Jesus to be his disciples and later chosen to be apostles of the Lord Jesus. This John was thought to be the youngest of all the apostles, and he described himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I don't think, as I've told you before, that it was because he was being arrogant. I think it was because he had begun to realize the weight of the depth of the love that Jesus has for all of us, that he would leave glory, come here, take the wrath and the punishment that each of us deserves for being a sinner against a holy God, and would put himself in our place for us. And not only would he do that, he would allow us to be justified and be seen as righteous before God the Father if we are in Christ. And then not only would he do that, but he would give us eternal life, or he does provide eternal life for us who have believed in him. There's so much, and so much that we can't even wrap our minds around. And so I think John began to realize that, and that's why he may have described himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He also was a very trusted apostle of the Lord Jesus. He and his brother James and Peter were kind of in that inner circle of apostles. They were allowed to see Jesus be transfigured on that mountain that day, where they were able to glimpse some of his glory, and Moses and Elijah met him there. And John was also the one that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, and Mary, Jesus's mother, was at the foot of the cross, as with John, Jesus looked at his mother Mary and said, "Woman, here's your son," and to John and said, "Here's your mother." And John took Mary home to take care of her from that day forward. So Jesus entrusted the care of his mother with John, and he's thought to have been the longest surviving of the apostles. And so there's much that we see about him, and we hear much from him. I love his writing style. It's different than the others, you know. And when you think about that, he was with Jesus. So these letters and the gospel and that book of Revelation that we have, he was an eyewitness to these things. And he tells us as much here at the beginning of 1 John. He says, "What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we are writing so that our joy may be complete." They had touched, they had seen, they witnessed Jesus's miracles. They saw how he was in private. They saw how he was with the crowd. They saw his miracles over the physical realm, over diseases and affliction. They saw him be able to calm the storm. and they saw him raise Lazarus from the dead and others. And so it's just such a blessing that we would have these things written by the one of the ones who witnessed this. And we shouldn't take that lightly. We know that the Holy Spirit inspired John to write these things and to write in the way that he did. And I love, as I've told you before, he's one of the ones that will often give us a purpose statement or a why he was writing. And we read that in 1 John 5:13. He says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." And so he wanted us, those who would believe, to be encouraged. And this letter of 1 John is very much an encouragement. And, you know, as we've talked about before, there are some who claim to be Christ followers, but they think that they cannot know that they have eternal life, or they cannot know that they are saved. This letter of 1 John is such an encouragement for how we can know. And it's not based on our works. It's not based on who our ancestry is. It's based on faith. It's always ever been on faith. We talked about that earlier this month. It was based on faith with Abraham. It was about faith before there was ever a law. It was about faith with Noah. It has always been based on faith. And just one more thing, when we look over in John's gospel, I love how what he described here in this one of his writings, where he says in John 20, verse 30, "Therefore, many other signs Jesus did also in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." John wanted people to know. And so I love that. Now, we were in this letter just a few days ago, as we talked about. And John was just laying things out here very clearly. And this is a letter of encouragement. It's a letter of warning. It's a letter of these are how you can know that you belong to the Lord. And so I'm just so thankful for that. In chapter 2 of this letter, he reminds us that Jesus is our advocate. He's the one that makes a plea for us, and also that he was the propitiation. We've talked about that big word, that he offered his life, his sinless life, as that payment, that appeasement to a holy God for the sins that we committed. And it's just such a blessing that he would do that for us. And then throughout, John will remind us, you know, and reminded the ones that he was writing to, don't love the things of the world. Those are not of God. Listen to this. He says in chapter 2, 15, "Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God abides forever." And friends, we do this will of God, and we know this will of God by spending time with him, by being in his word, by being led by his Holy Spirit. And he helps us with that if we won't quench that Holy Spirit. And then John just hammers this home over and over again in this, as well as in his other letters and in his gospel, about how important it is to love one another. And he reminds us that God first loved us, and that is how we were able to love him. And then in this chapter 4, and we were here just a few days ago, I'm going to pick up in verse 7 again and read forward to our verse for the day so you can hear the flow of thought and what he was saying. And it sounds like he's saying the same thing over and over again, and some of the points are just those points that we must know, but there's little subtleties to each. And so it's good for us to slow down and reread these. And I think it'll be such a blessing to you. In chapter 4, verse 7, he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit." Oh, there's so much here. "We have beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have come to know and have believed the love which God has in us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." And here's our verse. "By this, love has been perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world." So this verse is a very reassuring verse. And I think that's one of the things that John was really trying to do, because throughout this letter, he had tried to reassure. You know, he said toward the beginning of the letter in 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." He tells us in chapter 3, "See what manner of love the Father has for us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." And then he's telling us here in this 4, how can we know that we are abiding? How can we know that we are his? And it's if we abide in him, if we love others with that sacrificial love. It's not a selfish thing. It's not a brotherly love. It's not that romantic love. It's truly wanting the best for someone else. And friends, all of us, our sin nature is rooted in self. And so if you can put others ahead of yourselves and truly want what's best for them, that has to come from God. And we know that that love is part of the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what we had read in 14. In 13, it says, "By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit." And when we get to this part in our verse 17 where he says, "By this, love has been perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also we are in this world." When he says "by this" at that verse 17, we have to look back before it to know what he was talking about. And he was talking about abiding in God, confessing that Jesus is God's Son. If we confess and we believe, then God abides in us. We know that God in the form of the Holy Spirit abides in us, because as we've talked about in Ephesians chapter 13, I'm sorry, gracious, there's no 13 of Ephesians. It's Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, how we've Paul had reminded those to whom he was writing about the spiritual blessings we have in Christ. And he said, "In him you also, after listening to the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance unto the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory." Once we confess, we hear that word, we confess, we believe, we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, His Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. And that Holy Spirit is one with God the Father and God the Son. They're all together. And we know that because of his spirit. We know we are his because of the spirit, but also because of the fruit, because we want to obey him, because we want to abide in him, because we are keeping his word. And it's by this that love has been perfected in us. And because of that, we don't have to dread the day of judgment. You know, yesterday we talked about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 about when the church is going to be caught up, when the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those who are still alive will be caught up to meet them in the air. That is when the church is snatched away. But then after, and you read about that in chapter 5 and also in Revelation, there will be a time of judgment. And those who are believers in Christ, those who abide in him and he in us, we don't have to dread that. We can have confidence in the day of judgment because as he is, so also are we in this world. We are in him. He is in us. He is taking care of it. We don't have to dread that day. We can trust him. We can be like Paul, who says, I know, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. We know that we, when we stand in judgment, that Jesus, our advocate, who has paid the price for us, is going to stand for us. We are abiding in him. He is in us. And we have evidence of that, as we've just read, because of the Spirit, because of the love that he has given us. And I'm just so thankful, so thankful. And so may we abide in him. How do we abide? We talked about that just a minute ago. We spend time in his word. And I love what Paul says in, or not Paul, gracious, John says in the next chapter in 5:3, he says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. It is not burdensome for us to want to do what he wants us to do. It is not burdensome for us to love God and to love each other. And God helps us with that because of the Spirit that he has given us. So that's what he means by perfecting that love in us. He makes it complete. The more we spend time with him, the more we're in his word, the more we are focusing on him, he does that sanctifying work in us. And as we spend more time with him, by this, love has been and will be perfected in us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is loved, as he is shown his grace and mercy, so also are we in this world. There's evidence that we are in him and that we've spent time with him. And friends, again, it's not anything of us. It's what he does in us. And I'm so thankful that he would love us so, that he would do that. So spend time with him in prayer and worship and in the word, and he will change us. He will transform us. He will sanctify us for his glory. Blessings to you, friends. Until next time.